Our next presenter is Jolene Beiser. She has been working as an archivist at the Pacifica Radio Archives in North Hollywood since 2010. She received her MLIS from UCLA in June 2009 with a specialization in archival studies, and as a student processed collections at the UCLA Library Center for Primary Research and Training and the UCLA Ethnomusicology Archives. At Pacifica, she has improved and updated cataloging procedures, instituting the PBCorp metadata standard. She has also created a procedure for processing, digitizing, cataloging, and sharing audio as part of a grant-funded preservation project, and assisted with writing grant proposals for a large-scale digitization project for Pacifica's recordings related to the women's movement. She will be presenting Page Not Found, the highs and lows of developing a customizable online content management system for community-based audio recordings, talking about her experience spearheading the development of Pacifica's new Drupal-based content management system and website. Please welcome Jolene.
Okay, hi, I'm Jolene Beiser, one of the archivists at Pacifica Radio Archives. Just to give you an overview, I'm a little shorter, of what I'm going to be talking about. I'll be introducing you to the Pacifica Radio Archives, talking about the process of developing our content management system, walking you through the features of the new system. I'm not online, so I'm using screenshots, which bear with me. A list of things yet to do with the content management system, and some important lessons learned. For some reason, it keeps advancing when I don't tell it to. Okay. The Pacifica Radio Archives is the repository for the five Pacifica radio stations. That includes KPFA Berkeley, KPFK Los Angeles, KPFT Houston, WBAI New York, and WPFW in Washington, D.C. The majority of our collection is on quarter-inch reel tape. We have approximately between 50 and 70,000 reel tapes in our collection, and it starts in 1949. The reels start in the 1950s, but the collection starts in 1959. I don't know why it keeps advancing. I did something with my Mac, and I don't know what it is. Oh, maybe. That's it. Thanks. it was previously a tape library for the radio station, so when one radio station would make a program, they'd send it to the tape library, and then we'd distribute it to the other stations. And therefore, our records are MARC formatted. It's kind of under the idea of being a library. And I came with an archives background and was very baffled why there was no finding aids for our archive collection, but soon figured out why. Okay, PBCorp, how many of you are familiar with the PBCorp metadata standard? Yay, okay, good. We were involved in the American Archive Content Inventory Project, actually the pilot project, and then we started the Content Inventory Project, but due to funding, didn't continue. But the PBCorp standard we found to be really appropriate for our collection, obviously, because we are a public broadcasting archive. PBCorp is the Public Broadcasting Metadata Dictionary Project, and we found it to work really well for describing our collection, which usually has multiple contributors with different roles, like producers, engineers, guests, interviewers, interviewees, also multiple date types and these multiple layers of information, but it was not working with our system. We're trying to shoehorn, as I heard mentioned Wednesday, our metadata into the PBCorp standard, or we were changing our records to try and fit in the PBCorp standard, and we just kept running up against problems. Around the same time, we received a grant from NEA, 2011-2012 grant, to digitize a chunk of our collection, 150 tapes, and within that we wanted to improve not just our records describing those tapes, but also their the accessibility of them on our system. And our database consultant, her name's Karen Coyle up in Berkeley, basically said, the system that you have is not gonna cut it. It's time to start from scratch. And just to give you an example of another issue with our system, I actually wrote a paper on this my first year in library school, not knowing that 3 years later I'd be working there and actually getting to fix this problem. But I like ripped apart this website because it drove me crazy as a student. Basically, we have a public access catalog. These are the top on the left, where you could enter a keyword or an archive number, and then you get a record. But there's nothing you could do with the record. You could just see that we had it, but there's no information as to whether it's available, how it's available, how to get a copy, how to listen to it. And then on the right side, we had, under another tab called Browse and Buy, we had a listing of our recordings sorted by decade. And you could just browse through this list, and this was our recordings that had been digitized, and that by making a contribution to the archive, you could receive a copy. But these two databases did not talk to each other, and that just infuriated me. I was like, why? We have all this digitization information in that database, but it hasn't been put into our public access catalog, because our public access catalog didn't have the capacity to do that. So I took on the project of creating a database that could do those things. I started because I had no idea where to start. I started with use cases where I interviewed the different Pacifica staff, asking them how they interact with the system, or if they're not interacting with the system, what system are they using, so that we could combine as many of those elements into our new system. This is a diagram of order fulfillment, and this is all the different ways that we interact with the system. I'm not an artist, but it helped me kind of organize my thoughts around what we wanted. And then after I did that, I surveyed some similar collections and their catalogs and their database. I visited the Other Minds Radio up in San Francisco. They use they were using a FileMaker Pro database, but they were using MARC and AACR2. They were not involved in the PBCorps initiative, but I got an idea of how they were using their database and their catalog. And then around the same time, the Pop-Up Archive was being launched. It was a master's thesis project by three students from the UC Berkeley Information School. And we wanted to make sure they weren't doing the same thing we were doing. They are using the PBCorps metadata standard, and what they're doing is creating an online, as it says here, a lightweight web-based system that makes audio searchable. They're helping independent producers create be able to archive their audio and making it as easy as possible. So if you know any independent radio producers that need an archiving solution, send them to popuparchive.org. But their solution didn't work for us because we still have this massive collection of 30,000 records. We're not just starting from scratch, so it really wasn't gonna work for us. So we sent out an RFP to Broadcasting and Archives listservs describing what we were looking for, and we received a proposal from a Drupal developer. His name's Darren Avery. He's in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He's become my favorite person in the world. Basically, everything that I wanted to do with the system, he would say, oh, there's a module for that, there's a module for that. And that's Drupal speak for, it's this community of users that create modules for different purposes, and then it's open source and free, and they exchange their modules, and it's a really great developer community. And everything that I wanted to do, he said he could do. There's a lot of libraries that are using Drupal for developing their websites. And our database expert, Karen Coyle, had suggested Drupal, and I had heard it from another colleague, and it fit within our budget, so we went with it. Then I had to figure out exactly what did I want, because this is like a huge undertaking, and how to itemize it to explain to the developer. The first most important thing was to merge our metadata from the multiple databases being used at Pacifica. and remove duplicates. Also to add the PB Corps and other necessary metadata fields. We wanted to have a unique URL for each recording so that people could share our content online easily. We wanted some tools to help us clean up our legacy records, enable faceted research so that users could click on series names or keywords to get a listing of more recordings with that same related information. Improve our results display. I wanted something that was more like a library catalog where you could select recordings and print out a list and or save a search for later. And incorporate our blog. We have a blog at fromthevaultradio.org. It's a WordPress blog, and I wanted to incorporate that into our current system. And then also have easily editable web pages, so we don't need an IT person to do our web design or need to contact our developer every time we need to make a change. And Drupal is excellent with that. So here is like the first recording that I showed you. This is how it looks in our new system. So it doesn't look very different, but there's two or three key features here at the... Did I push that again? No. Okay, I'm losing it. There's two key features here. This is streaming, streaming audio link, so a user can pull up this, if you search for homosexual, this record will come up, and then you can see there's a link to the audio. If you click on that link, it takes you to, wow, it's alive, to archive.org, where we have this recording streaming. It was digitized as part of a previous NEA grant at George Blood Audio, and the Internet Archive is now providing streaming access to that recording, along with about 400 to 500 other recordings of ours. Also, if you look down at the bottom, there's a little add to cart there. If a person wants to make a contribution to the archive, they can get a hard copy of it. So now our users can actually interact with the record. They don't just get to the record and then leave. We want them to stay. And also they can share the recording, the link to this record display on social media sites. Okay, Anna Karenina. Here's another recording record display. This is, as you can see, there's a link. I should use my pointer, oh well. There's a series title there that's in blue, so now a user can click on the series title and see all of the episodes and parts related to this Anna Karenina series. It was a reading of the entire Anna Karenina that went on at KPFK in the 70s. It was like a week-long reading, 24 hours a day. And you can see, you can click... this is funny. You can click on the contributors to see, there's a contributor here, this is Emily Schiller, and she can click on her name. Thanks, here we go. Click on there to see all of the recordings that we have Emily Schiller on, that she's been a contributor on. We have keywords you can click on so you can see other, whatever we have with Leo Tolstoy or Anna Karenina. It doesn't bring up everything, and I have a note here that says, these terms will not bring up a complete list of all items in our catalog associated with the subject. Click here to search the entire catalog because not all of our recordings have these keywords. And then also a user can click down here to get to our digitized folio related to this collection, which is available at the Internet Archive as well. And so they can read along on the folio as they listen to the audio and have a nice visual and audio experience simultaneously. That was the goal, is to improve the user's experience. We have thousands of folios currently available at archive.org. And then these are a couple of tools that he created to help us clean up records. These are lists of series titles. Sorry, it's so small, probably hard to read. But they have unique names, and we wanted to give them the same name so that if you clicked on them, it would bring up everything that has that same series title. So he created these queries so that we could easily edit the series titles. And he created a query here for our contributors so we could easily check the spelling and edit the spelling of our contributors' names. And here's an inside look at our recording. This is where I can add fields or move fields around in order to suit our needs. So if we find there's more information that we need to track about a recording, I can very easily add a new field here. This is one of the best parts about Drupal. It's very easy to add more metadata to our recordings, and then you can easily just drop and drag metadata fields into different groups. You can easily create new groups. And then this was the page. This is the behind-the-scenes look at our page that we developed for our 2011-2012 NEA grant. Thanks. And this is really important to us because we do so many grants, and we need to always create a new web page for each grant that we do. And so he created this really easy-to-use page where we could enter text, image, and then add any documents that were produced as part of the grant. And then we could here just easily type in the archive number and add the links to each recording's record, so a person can go to our go to this page and then just browse through a list of recordings that were digitized as part of a grant, click on that recording, be taken to the record, and then from there and get the more information about that individual recording, and then from there click on a link to archive.org to listen to the streaming audio that was created as part of the grant. Of course, we ran into some problems. The biggest one, it was time-consuming, was trying to figure out about that searching and displaying results in our catalog. I had originally wanted something where we could narrow our results and decide how we want to display results, and users could select certain recordings and save that search. But what we found was that, for some reason, the search engine behind this module was not pulling up. It wasn't using all of the metadata fields that we needed it to, so it was pulling up an incomplete listing of recordings that contained a certain keyword. So we ended up having to go with this search box on the right that has no narrowing of searches. It says advanced search, but that's only for different page types in the archives. It's not, doesn't really narrow the search, the recording records. So that's disappointing, but we want people to find more information than not, so we're going with that for now. And then there was also an issue with dates, where he created a script to take our metadata from our old system to update the date and put it into PBCorp format, which is a YYYY-MM-DD format. But if the date was incomplete, if it just said like August 1962, it automatically said 1962-08-01 and added this day. It's like, oh my God, what do we do? But it's okay, we still have our old metadata, and now we can add, we can add a text here of the asset date in that YYYYMMDD and add the additional characters we might need to describe a date. And then the most embarrassing thing was when I finally announced this new website and our collection on the ARSC West listserv, and I was so proud, and I checked it a million times, and the first email I got back was, "This page not found," which is the title of my presentation. So if you do, make sure you find out from your developer, if you do something like this, make sure you find out from your developer if the URL name changes when you change the page title. That was really embarrassing. Well, you got to find out the hard way sometimes. Yet to do, we need to still incorporate our blog, which requires some buy-in from the archive staff. They like the way it is now, but I think it should be incorporated in our new webpage. We need to develop an export of the metadata in XML. He did develop an export in a CSV, which is working for our current, we have a grant from the Grammy Foundation we're working on, and we can export the metadata in a CSV file to provide to our vendor, for our digitization vendor. We need to clean up legacy metadata to improve the faceted search, add more of those links to the streaming audio, and luckily we had an intern from UCLA two quarters ago who helped with a number of recordings, and hopefully we'll be getting more interns to help with that work. And then me and the other archivists are chipping away at it. We eventually, when we have a server, want to have digital downloads and sampling of audio, and we need to enter, like any archive, we have a backlog of recordings that aren't in our catalog, so we need to enter those recordings. So I think the most important lessons we learned in this project, I got an idea of what other people with similar collections are using, and that almost for all of them, it's not quite perfect, and that we weren't alone in this struggle of trying to find the perfect solution. And that was very comforting. another very important thing was that the developer is not an archivist or a librarian, so he didn't know how important that was, that the dates got changed. And so I would suggest making sure that you tell them before you do any data merging how important whatever those really important fields are, that they don't get changed. And lastly, I think one of the hardest parts was keeping track of all of the changes he was making on the system as we went along. And I'd send him a communication about some things, and then he'd write me back what he did, and then I'd have to write back what I still need him to do, and then he'd write back what he did. Keeping track of all that was really complicated, and I think if I had it to do over again, I would have thought that out, how I would go about doing all of that communication about those changes ahead of time. So that's it. Thank you for listening.